Do please open your Bible at Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. We looked last week at perhaps one of the forgotten scenes of the Christmas story, Mary and Elizabeth strengthening one another in faith, Elizabeth confessing Jesus as Lord. Today we come to surely the most familiar of all the scenes in the Christmas story, the story of the shepherds coming to the manger. Our series is called Bearing Witness to Jesus, and we are following the story of how the announcement from heaven made by Gabriel, the angel, with regards to the birth of Jesus, how the announcement from heaven was confirmed on earth. And you will remember, as we saw last week, that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Chapter 1 and verse 31, you will conceive in your womb, you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And then verse 35, the remarkable statement as to how this would come about, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And then last week we saw how Elizabeth confirmed what had been said by the angel. Filled with the Holy Spirit, she confesses the unborn Jesus to be her Lord. Why should the mother of my Lord now come to me? And so Elizabeth rejoices in Jesus, she believes in Jesus, and Mary and Elizabeth strengthen each other in what they believe. Now today we come to the particular witness that the shepherds bear to Jesus, and I want you to notice from verse 16 that they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. So here's the contribution of the shepherds. They make known the saying that had been told them regarding the child, obviously the saying of the angel that appeared to them. And notice that verse 18 indicates that they made this known to many people, because it says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. All who heard it indicates many people. Now, shepherds watching their flocks at night in Bethlehem, rural Bethlehem, very, very close to the capital city of Jerusalem, the natural market for shepherds in the business of tending flocks, the natural market for their business was, of course, the great city nearby with its large population, and, of course, its temple with sacrifices and here are sheep. And so in the course of business, the shepherds would have been in and out of Jerusalem, from moving from rural Bethlehem to the metropolis there. And so it is very, very reasonable for us to think, in the light of what we're told here in Luke's Gospel, of these shepherds repeating what had been said by the angel right there in the great city in which they would have done so much of their business. But what I want you to notice particularly at this point is that the very first people to whom they made known the saying of the angels concerning Jesus were Mary and Joseph themselves. We're told that they went and they made haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. What a scene that is for the shepherds to have told Mary what the angels had told them. Now, what the angels told them, of course, is back in verse 10 and verse 11. The angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." So this is the saying that was told to the shepherds. This is what the shepherds then repeated to Mary and to Joseph when they came to see the infant Jesus, and what they repeated to many others in the course of their business, no doubt in subsequent days, so that many heard the message of the angel repeated by these shepherds. Now notice that what was said by the angel and repeated by the shepherds reflects what we have already learned about Jesus. Like Elizabeth, the shepherds are bearing witness to Jesus as Lord. A Savior is born, he is Christ the Lord. Like Simeon, whose story we're going to look at next week, they bear witness to Jesus as the Christ. He is Christ the Lord. But I want to focus today particularly on the distinctive witness of the shepherds, because they repeat the word of the angel, which is that Jesus is Savior. Today is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, let's begin here then with the angels announcing the Savior in verse 10. And they say three things about this marvelous Savior who is given to us and who we celebrate this Christmas. First, that his birth is good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. C.H. Spurgeon told a story that comes from the north of England and is set in the 19th century. A pastor called on a woman in his congregation who was really poor. The pastor had gone to take money to help this woman in her need. The church maintained a fund for helping people in dire circumstances, and the pastor went with this money to give this gift to this lady. The pastor knocks on the door of this woman's home, money in hand. He knocks and there's no answer. So he knocks again, and still there is no answer. So the pastor went away. The following Sunday, here's this woman in the congregation. The pastor sees her, and after the service, he told her that he had come and brought a gift for her to help her, and that he had knocked at her door, and that there was no answer. "When did you call?" she asked. "Well, it was Thursday at noon." The woman looked embarrassed. "I was at home," she said, "and I heard you knock. But I didn't answer because I thought you were the man calling for the rent." Now, there are many people who will not respond to Jesus Christ because they are convinced that he's like the man calling for the rent. That what he's doing is that he's basically coming with a demand, and that what he demands is what we do not have. Their whole idea of Christianity is that basically it's something that's going to be dumped upon you, in which you're told what you need to do and what you need to be, and know that you are not and that you have not. And if you feel that Jesus Christ is basically knocking on the door of your life to present to you a whole list of demands, then when Christ knocks at the door, you will not be inclined to respond. And here's what I want you to understand about Jesus Christ, who's born into the world at Christmas. Jesus Christ comes not to demand the rent, but to pay the bill. And there's all the difference in the world. He comes to pay what we owe to God. He comes to give what we need and what we do not have. That's the reason to open the door of your life to him. He comes as Savior. That's what this word means. That's why John says in his gospel that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is good news. That's the first thing that the angel says. And when you see this, that this is good news, then you will have an altogether different kind of response to the Jesus who draws near to you even today. It's good news. And then says the angel about this Savior, his coming is good news of great joy. Great joy, why? Because the birth of a Savior is exactly what we need. See, if we were in the position of having what we needed to pay what we owe, as it were, to God, we would not need a Savior. If you had lived the life that God calls you to live, if you were able to live the life that God calls you to live right now, You might say, well, I don't want charity. I want to stand on my own two feet before God. You know, a savior would be good for other people who've messed up, but I have the means to do it. I can stand on my own feet. But you see, here's the truth to which all the Bible bears witness. You and I, friend, are in the same position as the woman in Spurgeon's story. We owe a debt to God. We owe a debt. We owe it to God to live the life that He has called us to live. We haven't done it. We cannot do it. We do not have the means to pay. When the angel appeared to the shepherd, we're told in a very remarkable phrase that the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord. What that means was that the presence of Almighty God was immediately present with them. And what does it say about their response to that? When the presence of Almighty God was immediately with them, it does not say that they lifted up their face and just basked in the glory of God. It doesn't say that. It says when the immediate presence of God, the glory of the Lord shone around them, what was their response? They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Because they knew their Bible. That for a member of our fallen race to find him or herself in the immediate presence of a holy God is to be the very end of life. Nobody can see God and live. And here's the pressure of the reality in which we live. We live in this world, and then we go out into another world. When we see the face of God, and the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Friends, that's why we need a Savior. And the good news is that the Savior has come. And because a Savior is exactly what we need, it is good news of great joy. And when you see how much you need Him, when you see the truth of your own position as a sinner before a holy God, then the coming of a Savior will be great joy to you. And then the angel says that the coming of this Savior, his birth into the world, is good news of great joy, and it will be for all the people. This is surely the significance of the shepherds and of the angels. The shepherds and of the kings. The shepherds, of course, were the bottom of the pile. They were despised people. I wonder if you knew this, that shepherds were regarded with such distrust that if you were a shepherd, your testimony would not be admissible in a court of law. I mean, talk about that for discrimination. I mean, here's a whole profession, and you say, well, shepherd. I believe what a shepherd says. If you had a story and you repeated it to a friend, and the friend said, well, where did you hear that? And you said, well, a shepherd told me. He said, got to take what a shepherd says with a pinch of salt. I mean, that was how much shepherds were distrusted and regarded as the very bottom of the pile. And so God comes to people who are at the bottom of the social pile of the day, as it were, people who were not given the time of day, not respected, not trusted by others. And the angel says, to you at the very bottom of the pile, is born today a Savior. But then think about this. Who else is drawn to the manger? Shepherds and kings. Kings are the very top of the pile. Wise men, people of extraordinary learning, people in our terms today of multiple degrees, academic brilliance, people who have the kinds of financial means to be able to bring a gift of solid gold. Not so many people can do that in this world, but the kings could. And the birth of the Savior, you see, is good news of great joy, and it is for all people. And right there at the manger, we have the entire spectrum of the culture of the day. Shepherds, the bottom of the pile. Kings, the top of the pile. Why? Because his birth is good news of great joy for all people, and for all their learning, for all their genius, and for all their wealth, and for all their power. The kings need the Savior as much as the shepherds do. So angels announce the Savior, and the birth of the Savior is good news, and it's of great joy, and it is for all people, whoever you are. There's nobody outside the range of people for whom the Savior has come. Now, the second thing I want you to notice today is the shepherds proclaiming the Savior. We saw at the beginning that what was made known to them by the angels, which we've just reviewed, was what they repeated first to Mary and Joseph and then to many, perhaps particularly in the great city. And just to see that again in verse 15, the angels went away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." The Lord has made known to us. They went with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. So you see the parallel there. The Lord makes known to them the good news of great joy, which will be for all people, the birth of a Savior. And as they then proceed, they make known what God has made known to them concerning the child. So they are bearing witness to Jesus. Now, what a wonderful picture this is of the mission that is given to the church. We are to make known to others what God has made known to us through the Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus. We are to go out into the world, as the shepherds indeed did, and we are to bear witness with Elizabeth that Jesus, born of Mary, is the Lord of heaven and earth. We are to bear witness with the shepherds that Jesus, the Son of God, is the Savior of all who will come to him, the greatest and the least and without exception. And how extraordinary, by the way, that God should choose shepherds to be the first proclaimers of the gospel. I mean, here are people whose word or testimony would not be admissible in a court of law. And God says, "I'll use you to be the first people who are trusted with the announcement of the Savior." Now, you just take hold of that. And for any person who feels, you know, "I don't really have what it takes to be useful to Jesus. You know, who would ever listen to me? I've not been given any great influence, and I don't have particular gifts," and so forth. Don't ever say that you can't be useful to God. Don't ever say, "Well, nobody would listen to me." God trusts his good news to shepherds as well as to kings. And that's why in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this: "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in this world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might ever boast in the presence of God." So for any person here who feels, you know, I don't really have anything to contribute here, remember, God chooses shepherds to be the first announcers of what has been revealed to them regarding the Son of God. If he can use shepherds, he can certainly use you. But don't forget that along with that, along with shepherds, he also uses kings. He brings kings and shepherds. He brings people from every kind of experience of life to this manger. And he sends them out. "Some of you have been blessed by God with great success. You've been given minds of brilliance applied in your sphere, and because of that particular gift, you have been lifted, promoted, exalted in some way and in some sphere. God has prospered you. God has given to you blessings. He's lifted you up. He's put into your life things that he obviously has not put into the lives of others. Why has God done this? Why would he have put you in this position? Why would this wealth have been trusted to you? Well, for this reason, God has made his Son known to you so that you should deploy all that you are in the spheres of influence in which he has put you, and all that you have for the sake of making his Son known to others. God loves kings as well as shepherds. And he makes his Son known to people in every position and every sphere of influence of life. Why? Because his Son must be proclaimed to people in every sphere and every position in life. So that through you, the good news of Jesus Christ, which has come to you, may then be repeated as the shepherds repeated it into your sphere of influence. There are people who God has gathered around you, circles in which God has placed you. People who can be reached by you catching a vision for being like the shepherds and the kings who receive in order to give. There are people you can reach that the person next to you, in front of you, or behind you could not reach. People that would not listen to me, but will listen to you. And you have been placed in a sphere of influence so that the word of the Son of God may reach far and wide. He's come for all people, and therefore the mission of the church is to penetrate the world. And the only way in which that is done is by everyone to whom Christ has been made known, being alive to the sense that we are called to live on mission, that this is what our lives are about, that if we've been put in circles and places of privilege, that this is why. So that Christ may be known. The question is, how do I deploy where I am, what I do, what I have, all that God has trusted to me, so that that which he has revealed to me with regards to his Son may be communicated to others? This is a beautiful picture of this great commission, this calling that is given to the whole church of God. So the angels announcing the Savior, leading to the shepherds proclaiming the Savior. Here's the third and the last thing today. People responding to the Savior. And there are three words here. They're all good, and I trust that they will all characterize the way in which we will respond to Jesus today. The first word is in verse 18, and it's the word wondering. All who heard it, that's all who heard the testimony of the shepherds, repeating what had been given them by the angels, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now, that's a great place to begin. Picture the shepherds telling this to many in Jerusalem in the course of their business, in the course of their travels, in the course of their work. It's coming out of them in conversations. They're doing deals and they're trading sheep and they're speaking about Jesus. And no doubt in the city, people then were rushing through the relentlessness of their lives as we are now. But here are these shepherds, and they're saying that a Savior has been born. And when the people heard it, we're told simply they wondered. In other words, they stopped and they thought, a Savior's been born? Huh. What if that was actually true? What if the God of heaven has actually come to earth? Could it be that God is actually reaching out in love to me? They wondered. They stopped, they thought, and into the relentlessness of their lives, suddenly they wonder, could it be? Could it be? Now, if you are new to the church today, or if you are new to Christianity, I hope that you will start right here today, that you will figure like this, that you would say to yourself right now, here I am, and I'm sitting in this place right now, and I am surrounded by people who say that there is good news, and it's of great joy, and they say that it's for me. What if that were true? Wondering is exactly the place to begin. But don't stop there. Some people spend all their lives wondering and never make any progress. So you've got to move on. But if you don't stop and begin to think, now, what if this that's being proclaimed is actually true? You never get any further. So that's where it begins. Here's where it continues. Second word is treasuring. And that's in verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She stored up all that had been revealed about Jesus. Of course she did. She couldn't just hear these things and let them go. She stored them up in her heart. I've just tried to picture this scene, how beautiful it must have been as the shepherds are bearing witness to Mary of what they have seen and heard and what it must have meant to her. They come to the manger and they say to Mary, "An angel appeared to us. We saw the glory of the Lord and we were absolutely terrified because we knew what that meant. But the angel said to us, 'Fear not.' And then the angel said, 'Today a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord.'" And Mary took that into her heart. Savior. A Savior. Literally, the phrase here means she treasured up all these things in her heart. She put these things all together. She added up what had been said to her by Gabriel, and then by Elizabeth, and then now by the shepherds. The angel had said, "The child to be born will be the Son of God." Elizabeth had declared the unborn Jesus as Lord, speaking by the Holy Spirit. And now the shepherds come and repeat what has been revealed to them from heaven, that he is indeed the Savior. Mary puts these things together. She adds them up. She looks at this child in her arms, Son of God, Lord, Savior. One testimony added to another, one confirming another, each expanding on that which had been revealed before. Mary treasured up these things, pondered them in her heart, stored up all that she had come to know about Jesus. He is Son of God, he is Lord, and he is Savior. And then pondering that, tracing out the implications of that. What would it then mean for him to be my Lord? What would it mean then for him to be my Savior? Friends, that is how faith is born, and that is how faith is nurtured. You put together that which has been made known about Jesus, and you trace out its implications for your own life. That's where faith begins. That is how faith is nurtured. And here's what that would look like for you right now, for you to settle in your mind, I have a Savior. That means I have hope. That means that I have peace. That means that sins and failings of my life are not the end. That means that there is forgiveness for me. That means that there is rescue for me. That means that there is hope for me. If there's a Savior and he's for me, that's hope right here for me in him. And then with that, as you're putting together all that has been revealed about Jesus, you will have to say this, I have a Lord. That means that I am not my own. That means that I am not free to fritter away my life doing my own thing. I can't say if my teenage years, oh, well, these are just years that I'm going to kind of do my thing. No, I have a Lord. There is no period of life that I'm free to kind of segment off and say, this is just for me. No, I have a Lord, and therefore there is a purpose for my life. There is a reason why I'm here on the face of this earth. I have a purpose. God has a purpose for me, and I am accountable to Him to fulfill that purpose for me in Jesus Christ. So there's hope, there is purpose. How do you come to that? By putting together that which is revealed about Jesus and tracing out its implications with regards to your own life. That's faith. That's what faith does. So wondering where it begins, treasuring how it grows, and the last word is praising, which of course is where it leads. The shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They had seen the glory of God and had not been consumed by it. They had heard the good news of the Savior, and that is why. Now what are they doing? They're praising. They're glorifying God. And think about this. The night that began with lost sinners fearing God ended with saved sinners praising God. That is a remarkable transformation. And why did it happen? Because the Savior has been born into the world, and that is good news of great joy for all the people. Wondering, treasuring, praising. Well, may that be the response of every single one of us to the coming of Jesus Christ into the world today. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, we bow before you and recognize our great need of a Savior. And today we want to lift our hearts and to give thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we lift our hearts in praise to our Savior. And as your loved children and as your redeemed servants, we lay our lives before you in worship today. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.